Speaking on this program is Mark Lance.
Luke chapter 10, what we call the story of the Good Samaritan is found only in the book of Luke. You don't find it in Matthew, Mark, or John. But in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25, we see that it says, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to have eternal life?'" Now, this reminds you of the rich young ruler here. He tempted him. He come asking with the wrong motives. And that's a shame that people would do that, but it's still not surprising. And don't be surprised when you see those people. Sometimes you can see it coming, and sometimes the best thing to do is just avoid some situations. When some people are trying to trap you, if they tried to trap Jesus in his teachings, you think they won't try to trap you and me? He was and is the master teacher, and it doesn't matter how good a teacher some man here on this earth may be, he will never touch what Jesus did. And they tried to trap Jesus in his own words. And you stop to think, what a shame. Jesus himself is standing before you, and the only thing you want to do is try to trap him in something that he says. But Jesus knows all things, and he also knows the thoughts of this man's heart. And this man, he's a lawyer, so he's an intelligent man. But he asked Jesus a question and wants to know. And he said unto him about who is this, what must I do to have eternal life? And that's a good question. And everybody needs to ask that question and needs the biblical answer, not just what some man says. But in verse 26 it says, "He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?'" Now he's turning the tables a little bit. He says, "How do you read? What's written in the law?" So Jesus is making him think, rather than just simply answering all the questions himself, he says, "Let me ask you something." Now, he didn't use those words, but that's what he's doing. And that's not the first occasion that he did this. Remember when they came trying to trap Jesus in his words before, he asked them questions as well. And rather than them trapping him in his words, he trapped them in their words. But in verse 27 it says, "And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.'" Now, that tells us right there, this lawyer knows something about the Old Testament Scriptures. He knew that point. So he had studied up to a certain point and knew these things. So you have to remember, he's tempting him. "Well, if you know these things about the Bible, why are you asking a question?" Now, here's one thing that may seem strange. Now, I've seen those that are not Christians try to ask me a question just to see if they could make you stumble. But I've had members of the body of Christ ask questions just to see if they can make you stumble and get you caught up in something. And you really wonder, with that kind of person, what are you trying to do? What if you accomplished what you're trying to do? What if you could make somebody look bad, make the teacher look bad, or the preacher look bad? What are you trying to accomplish? And you wonder, with a person like that, they came to services, they came to worship for the wrong reason, if that's the reason that they came. We need to come and worship God. But Jesus, notice what he said, "What does the Scripture say? How have you read?" And brethren, that's the answer that we want to give. What does the Bible say? Not what some man says, not what the most popular thing is, because what's popular today may not be so popular tomorrow. It changes from day to day, but the Bible stays the same day in and day out. It never has to be changed nor altered. It always reads the same way. But verse 29 says this, or verse 28 he says, "And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.'" All right, that's going to be the end of it, right? No, look, this lawyer's not finished yet. He wants to keep on. I've got Jesus going. This man that professes to be the Son of God, I've got him now. Well, you think that you do, but you're not going to trap the master teacher. But he'd be willing to justify himself. There's the problem. He wasn't looking to find out, what do I need to do according to truth to have eternal life? He was not doing that. He was trying to justify himself. And brethren, we have to be careful that when we come to the Scriptures, we're not trying to justify a position that we already have that's preconceived. whether it be about salvation, baptism, whatever subject it is, we need to come to the Bible with an open mind, an open heart. This up here is where the heart is, not this blood pump. We need to come with open minds. What does the Bible say? Because there may be something that we've been doing religiously that we find out that's not how God wants me to worship. Or maybe some position that we've held for many years. And rather than trying to justify myself, we need to look at the Scriptures and see what the Bible says. What does God want me to do? Not trying to justify ourselves. And he said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now I've got you. So who is my neighbor? Well, is it the one just next door to you? What about across the street? Well, on your street, how far do you have to go down? Who is your neighbor, Jesus? Let's see him answer this one. Well, Jesus is going to answer that question and do a tremendous job in doing that and do some great teaching rather than that we can learn, because you're going to see some religious people that did not do what they should have done. The people that should have helped didn't help. And the one that they thought would normally wouldn't help is the very one that shows up and gives the man aid in this story. In verse 30 it says, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. They didn't care what happened to this man. And we see this mentality a lot. They took what he had. Now that road going through Jericho was going to Jericho from Jerusalem was an area where there was caves and so forth, a lot of hiding places for thieves. There was a longer way around, but hey, this is shorter, but it's more dangerous. But this man obviously took this route. But you see these thieves, they take what he has, doesn't belong to them, they have it worked for it, they have it earned it, they take it. And you see this mentality in a lot of people, what's yours is mine if I can take it. Might makes right, and it does not. Because I tell you, it's not who's physically the strongest. And that's what we see with Darwinism, is the survival of the fittest. That's not how it works, though, brethren. It's those that serve God, and physically, you do not have to be strong in order to be considered doing something worthwhile in God's eyes, if you'll serve Him faithfully. But these people had the mentality, these thieves, if I can take it, if I can get my hands on it, it will be mine. Well, what about the guy that worked for it? Well, maybe he's got a family. They're not concerned about that. What if he's got children and this is what you've taken from him is how he was going to buy them food? They're not concerned about that. And so we see a lot of that going on in our society. What's the news tonight at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock? And you'll see somebody has taken something from somebody, and sometimes it's a life. And they leave this man for dead. He's half dead when they leave him. Well, what if he dies? Not our problem. But now they forget something. You'll stand before the Lord in judgment and give an account of all things that you've done, even though you walk away and maybe nobody else sees who did it. God knows. And God will hold us accountable for those things if we do not repent of them. But they had the mentality, what's yours is mine, if I can take it. In verse 31, it says, and by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Here's a priest. A religious leader. What does he do? He passes by on the other side. There's a man. He sees what's happened. He's been beaten. Obviously, he's been robbed. It's not hard to tell when something like that is taking place. This man should have been one that would have been first on the spot to try to help somebody. What does he do? He walks by. That's not my problem. He says, I'm not going to offer my help. Now, here's where we need to consider ourselves as God's people today. The priests would have been considered what was God's people. And also, we're going to look at the Levite in just a moment. But this is people that should have been servants of God. But I want you to think for a moment. Let's just take this priest and use it as an example. Let's say he does what he's supposed to do for us, offering sacrifices. And he does all those things exactly like God's told him to do. But he doesn't help when he has an opportunity. See, that's also what he's been commanded to do. We read that earlier. Do good unto thy neighbor. Take care of your neighbor. That's what instigated the question to begin with. So the priest, even though he may have sacrificed and served in his role as priest, as far as the official quote things that he was supposed to do, When it came down to the everyday loving, he didn't do it. And here's the warning that I give sometimes when I preach. Brethren, just showing up to the building, even come to all services, that's good. That's a good starting place. But there's a lot more to being a Christian than just showing up for services. It's going to take, sometimes we talked about this morning, sometimes we have to be willing to sacrifice. We have to be going out of our way. This priest man thought, well, you know, under certain circumstances, I would help this man. But if I do that, that means I'm not going to make it to where I'm going to later, and that's really going to throw me off on what I want to do and what I need to do, so I'm not going to be involved. Remember what we talked about? Sometimes you have to give up a movie. Sometimes you have to give up a ball game. Sometimes you have to give up something in order to do something that is more important. This priest was not willing to do that, and he was a religious leader. Now, I would remind, well, elders, it would begin with elders. Elders are the overseers of the church, not the preacher. Preachers would certainly be included because they are before the congregation so much, but also deacons and Bible class teachers. You've taken a position of leadership, some in different roles, but you've taken a position of leadership, and we need to lead, not just teach the right thing. Well, boy, this brother, he's such a good preacher. He can say the right things, and I just love to hear him preach. He's my favorite speaker. But if he doesn't go out and live the things that he's preaching, he's going to lose his soul. And brethren, if we just go through the motions and technically we've done the right things, well, I worshiped on Sunday, I came to Bible class on Wednesday, we had a gospel meeting, I was there every night. Well, being a Christian is not about just going through the motions and technically doing things right. Being a Christian is about what takes place in the mind. And that's the reason the word repentance is so hard for us to do, because it's called a change of life. I was serving Satan. I'm going to stop that. I have repented. I'm not serving Satan anymore. I'm going to serve God because I have repented. Believing in God, well, I believe in God. And I'm willing to tell people I believe in God. And I'm willing to be baptized. But see, in Acts 2:38, before somebody's baptized, it says they are to repent. And that's the reason it's one of the hardest commands that we find doing. We don't mind doing certain things, but there's certain things we come through. I don't particularly like that one. Now, also us as members of the body of Christ, and there may be somebody here that is not a Christian, and we certainly would want you to consider being a Christian, but what about the body of Christ? We need to learn something. If somebody wanted to skip the act of baptism, say, well, I believe God, I've heard the Word, and I'm even willing to do good things. I'll do what this priest did, but I'm not going to be baptized. We would say, well, you can't be saved. You have to be baptized to wash away sins. No, that's right. That's true. But what about this? What about us? Those that did hear, believe, repent, and confess, and were baptized. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. All right, you met the point of baptism and those other commandments, but you decide to leave out daily serving God. Study to show thyself approved. Do we do that one? Or do we leave it undone? Well, I don't, you know, I was baptized, so what if I don't study daily? So what if, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but rather bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Well, I'm going to skip that one, but I was baptized. I think we get the point. We can go through the right process originally to become a Christian, and we can defend truth, rightly so, but then we're just as guilty, though, if we have commandments that are given to Christians, and we ignore them. Do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith. Brethren, there's a lot of things we need to do after we become Christians and stop looking to be served and go out and be a servant to God's people. And picking back up in verse 32, it says, likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Here's another religious person, one that would have assisted the priest. And he knows what the man needs. This man needs some help. What's going to happen if I don't help him? He's not concerned about that. He's not concerned in the least. That's that man's problem. Brethren, we can't look at that as Christians. Number one, toward each other, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Sometimes all we have to do is open our eyes, and it's obvious. We can look out and see somebody's been missing quite a few services. Something's wrong. Nobody ever told me. Sometimes we just need to open our eyes and look. And obviously some things are wrong when somebody starts missing services. And we can even see sometimes by people's expression. If you see somebody that's normally happy and enjoys being around other people and they start pulling away from people, something's wrong. Investigate a little bit. Spend some time with them and see what their need is. Don't pass by on the other side. Don't be like this priest or like this Levite. Well, that's their problem. I've got mine. And I've heard people say that. I heard a man say that about his own son. His own son was having some great difficulties. He said, well, I've got my problems too. And so he left his son to take care of his own. Well, he was religious, but he's just like the priest and the Levites. He says, what I have is mine and I'm keeping it. See, there's a second attitude that we have. I could help. I have what the man needs. I have the ability to help, but I'm not going to use it. So those two are actually more guilty than the thieves. You see, how is that? How is that possible? The thieves are the one that beat him up. The thieves are the one that robbed him. Well, they didn't profess to serve God, though. That's what they were. They were thieves. They went around stealing what was somebody else's. But here's a priest. Here's a Levite. They profess to be God's children, and yet they're not doing what's right. They're worse off than the thieves. And the world, so-and-so's a thief. We've known that for years. But this guy's supposed to be a priest. This guy's supposed to have been a religious leader. And we, as God's people, if we are Christians today, Peter tells us that we are a royal priesthood. That's what we are. And so we offer sacrifices up. They're not animal sacrifices, but our praise to God, our service to God. So make sure that we're not more guilty than what these thieves are. We look out in the world and say, well, I wouldn't do what some of them would do. And, of course, it's Mardi Gras season. I don't think it was last year, but a year or two ago. I remember being in the bank on a day after Mardi Gras was over. And the guy was talking about how good things went during Mardi Gras. Only two people got killed. And he was serious. Hey, we went through Mardi Gras and only two people got killed. That's good. Boy, the lack of concern for other people. Those two people had families. Ever who it was had a mother and a father and brothers and sisters that cared about him. The lack of care, but it should never be named among God's people. But now here's going to come a third attitude. We've seen the attitude of the thieves. What's yours is mine if I can take it. We've seen the attitude of the Levite and the priest. What's mine is mine and I'm going to keep it. Now we're going to see a third attitude that comes with the Samaritan. Verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. A Samaritan by the Jews was considered an outcast. You're not even worthy to be around us. But who's helping? The one that's considered the outcast? Now, he's got a different mentality than the priest does and what the Levite does, and certainly different than what the robbers do. And it says, he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Now let's stop and think for a moment. He had things to do too. He had problems in life just like everybody else did. But he stopped what he was doing. He says, this is more important. This man needs my help more than I need to go home and sit down and rest. And so he went out of his way. And you also see that wine, every time it's used, is not used as something to get drunk with. It was used on many occasions for wounds and for healing purposes. Not just so somebody could go get drunk with. But he takes him to the inn, and it says he binds up his wounds. He takes care of them. Well, that's not going to be a fun job, but he did what he could. He was in a position to help, but so was the priest and the Levite. But they ignored their opportunity to do good. And guess what? That opportunity, that particular one, will never be there again for them again. It's gone. And so we have to use the opportunities that come before us. But we need to be more like the Samaritan. He helped him. He says, here, I'm going to pay for what's his. And if there's any more cost, You bill that to me. When I get back, I'll take care of it. He had an attitude of, what's mine is yours if you need it. Now, that reminds us of Barnabas, doesn't it? He saw his fellow Christians when the church had first begun. He says, here's some people that have a need. They need help. Well, obviously, he done well for himself. I'm going to sell. He didn't sell everything that he had, but he had some property and he sold it, put it down at the apostles' feet. That way, these people can have the things that they need. We need more like Barnabas in life. We need more like this Samaritan in this parable here that are willing to go out of their way. And brethren, if we are what we say we are, and we call ourselves Christians, Christ-like, Christ went way out of His way to help us, didn't He? He went way out of His way by leaving heaven, the glories of heaven, which we talk about so often, about going there and being with the Lord, being with God. He left all of that to come here, to be rejected, to be beaten, spit upon, and put on a cross, and died. Not because of His sins, but for ours. Brethren, we need to be busy. And if we were busy doing what the Lord would say, we could see so much more done for the Lord's church, and also it would do something else for us. Not only would we be doing good, and the church multiplies because you have more teachers, more people out doing what they're supposed to do, but when we're out doing what God has told us to do, it takes our mind off self. If I just sit there and, boy, life is bad, this is what's wrong with me, my foot hurts, my back hurts, now this hurts, this is wrong. Well, if I'm out serving God, I'll quit sitting there concentrating on what's wrong with me and what's wrong with life. Go out and do what God told you to do. You see, there's more than one purpose that God told you to go out. It does good for somebody else, but also it will help you. Sometimes we've got to get up and do something, and it will help us when we do that. In verse 36, Jesus asks the question now back to the lawyer. Again, He turns it back to him. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? He uses his parable to teach, and now once he's taught, he says, let me ask you a question again. And now this is, you know, I mentioned at the beginning of this sermon where this lawyer reminds us of the rich young ruler, but here's a place he really doesn't remind us of the rich young ruler, because the rich young ruler went away distraught because he was not willing to sell what he had and give to the poor. This man seems to have a bit of a different attitude. And he said, he that showed mercy on him, then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Brethren, that's the same thing that applies to us. What do we need to do to have eternal life? Perhaps we've obeyed the gospel and become Christians. Go out and help our neighbor. Who is our neighbor? Those that are in need when we have the opportunity to help. Now use caution. Try to use some good judgment when you're trying to help people. Because, well, we had a man, I think it was maybe this past Wednesday night or last Sunday night. He's wanted help. He was not even willing to stay for after the services were over to talk about it. Just give me what I want and I'm out of here. Don't give that man anything. Especially when you've already given things in the past and you won't sit through one single service. Just give me. I don't want to hear the gospel. If you can't wait that long, if somebody's not that interested, take your money, take your funds, and use them where they are needed. Don't just throw them away on people that are simply looking for a free handout. Brethren, there's a difference in looking for a handout and somebody that has a need that's legitimate and helping them. But those that do need help, brethren, we need to be busy doing what we can as God's people to help them. And I want to read, since we do have time, and I was watching the clock, by the way, these last few passages have a very important message. It says, now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, notice this, brethren, it's important. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But notice this last verse. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Brethren, what are we majoring in? Is it the daily things of life, taking care of self, making money? Those things are needful. But serving God and the spiritual things far outweigh them. And she understood that, at least one of the sisters did, but one of them didn't. And Jesus tells her, you've lost sight of what's really important. I'm afraid we as Christians do that too sometimes. We lose sight of what really matters. And it's not to see who has the most in this life. It's not to see who has the most toys in this life and he wins. No, that's not what the Bible says. It's like he's taught here, we have a world that needs help. We have brethren that need help. Brethren, there's so many opportunities that we have an opportunity to help. But there's so many we can't help because there's only so much you can do. Brethren, there's so much work that needs to be done. The fields are wide unto harvest, but the laborers are few. We need you to be one that is willing to labor, that is willing to sacrifice, that is willing to serve God, and be like the Samaritan in this parable, willing to do what you can to help other people. And brethren, that's what matters the most, doing what God would have us to do.